Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Juan Quijia, and I am a graduate student at The Ohio State University. And today, I'm going to be talking about a little bit of my master's research, which is the role of autophagy in the response of Petunia hybrida to low fertility and saline distress. So first, I'll just start talking about what is autophagy, why is it important, and why is it important for floriculture. So what is autophagy? Autophagy is a degradation process by which the cells recycle the nutrients, but also makes turnover of macromolecules or damaged proteins. In plants, there is two kinds of autophagy. Macroautophagy, which is characterized by the engulfment of the vacuole to capture the cellular contents. And macroautophagy, which is characterized by the formation of double membrane structures that capture and transport the cellular contents to the vacuole. The double membrane structure is called the autophagosome, and the formation of the autophagosome is regulated by the autophagy-related genes. Here, I will refer to macroautophagy as autophagy, since it's the one that I'll focus for my study. The autophagy-related genes were first identified in yeast, but they have been reported to have homologs in animals and in plants. So why is autophagy important? Autophagy has been reported to play during senescence and abiotic stress responses. Disruption of the autophagy-related genes causes premature senescence, as we can see in this picture. In Arabidopsis, the ATG gene 18 was disrupted using RNAi and caused premature senescence in these transgenic lines. But also, disruption of this gene caused hypersensitivity to drought and salinity stress. In terms of flower senescence, autophagy has been hypothesized to work in the remobilization of nutrients from the senescing corollas to the developed seeds or other developing organs. So, but then, why is this important for us? This is important because premature senescence and also abiotic stresses will reduce the visual quality of floriculture crops. And so, understanding the mechanism by which senescence works will help us to develop improving programs for floriculture crops. So, in the case of our lab, we are interested in better understand the mechanism of senescence, and previous studies show it that several ATG genes are upregulated during flower senescence. Here I have the kick pathway for autophagy, and in red boxes are the genes that are upregulated during the senescence of pollinated petunia flowers. So I decided to choose several of these genes well distributed through the pathway for my study, and we started evaluating how these genes, the expression of these genes, respond to low fertility and soil stress. In our low fertility experiment, the plants were grown for 4 weeks in a greenhouse and were irrigated with either 100 or 10 parts per million nitrogen. And for our soil experiment, the plants were grown for 27 days, irrigated with 100 parts per million nitrogen or 100 parts per million nitrogen plus 200 millimolar NaCl. The first fully open leaf of the plant was collected weekly for the low fertility experiment and every 3 days for the soil experiment for RNA extraction and gene expression analysis. So these are the results of the low fertility experiment, and the orange bars are the low fertility treatment and the blue bars are the control treatment. In the x-axis I have the weeks, and in the y-axis I have relative expression, And as you can see, all the genes that we evaluated showed changes in expression in response to the low fertility stress, especially on week 3 and 4. However, the ATG gene 4 and ATG gene 13 were not statistically significant. Something that I wanted to mention is that in our salt stress experiment, we didn't find changes in expression in response to the stress, and therefore we decided to focus on the low fertility stress for our following experiments. So then, to keep studying the role of autophagy in petunia, we decided to grow the wild-type petunia Mitchell diploid and 3 independent RNAi lines targeting the endogenous ATG6 under 2 different growing conditions for 5 weeks. The first condition was control, irrigated with 100 parts per million nitrogen and low fertility stress. The plants were irrigated with 10 parts per million nitrogen in a greenhouse environment. So first, these are the results of the transcript levels of the ATG gene number 6 in petunia. In the y-axis, I have the expression levels, and in the x-axis, I have the wild-type petunia, which is the orange bar, and the 3 transgenic lines are the blue bars. As you can see, line 32 and line 33 are the ones that show some downregulation. However, only line 33 was statistically significant, different to the wild type. So then, at the end of the experiment, we measure dry matter accumulation, and under control conditions, we didn't find any significant differences. But when the plants were grown under low fertility stress, the transgenic lines showed more dry accumulation than the wild-type petunia. Here I have a picture of the wild-type petunia and the transgenic lines on week 5 under control conditions and low fertility stress. The wild-type petunia is the first plant on the left. And something that I just want to point out is that just the transgenic line number 33 showed a different visual phenotype because it looked like a little bit stunted in both control conditions and low fertility stress. So because flowering is important in floriculture, we evaluated the time that it took for these plants to flower. In both growing conditions, only line 33 showed a delay in flowering, which is consistent with the higher downregulation of the gene that I showed in the previous slide. So something that I want to mention here is that I use ranks to analyze the data because some of the plants didn't flower by the end of the experiment. The ranks were basically, rank 1 was from 60 to 65 days, and rank 7 was more than 90 days. Then, because of the different phenotype that line 33 has, we also evaluated the number of leaves per plant, and again, line number 33 had less leaves per plant under normal growing conditions. But when the plants were grown under low fertility stress, those differences disappear. After that, we also evaluated the total leaf area of these plants to see if there was any difference. And as again, the line 33 was the only one that showed to be different than the wild type, and it has a higher leaf area compared to the control, which was the same result that we observed even only low fertility stress. In addition, line 32 also showed a higher total leaf area. So finally, because of that previous report said that transgenic lines deficient of autophagy senesce early, and the phenotype is early yellowing, we evaluated the chlorophyll contents of these plants throughout the experiment. And under control conditions, as you can see, we observe an increasing trend in the chlorophyll levels of these plants. But when we check the chlorophyll content on the low fertility stress, the trend was first to increase and then decrease in all the lines except line 33, which had an increasing trend in the chlorophyll content, suggesting that somehow the plants were not degrading the chlorophyll in line 33. So, in summary, what we observed from in this study was that the low fertility stress activates the autophagy machinery, which are the ATG genes, but not the cell stress. And that disruption of the autophagy gene number 6 in petunia causes morphological changes and delays flowering. It also, disruption of the ATG6 improves the performance of the petunia on the low fertility stress in terms of dry weight, number of leaves, leaf area, and chlorophyll content. So finally, I just want to mention that I wouldn't say that the phenotype we observe is all due to a disruption of autophagy, because the ATG6 has been reported to work in other processes such as signaling, another membrane transport processes, and pollen germination in an autophagy-independent manner. And in addition, we observed most of the phenotypes in just one line. However, that line was the one that had more downregulation of the gene. And I will explain that because that line had 2 copies of the transgene, whereas the other ones show it's just 1 copy when we perform a southern blot analysis. And finally, I'll just would like to turn to my advisor community and the members of my life, of my lab. Well, it's my life too. And my funding source. If you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer. Yes.
Because there are not
like that many reports on that gene. That will be one reason. Like the other genes, like there is like extensive work on like on other parts of the pathway, and also because, like as I mentioned, it has been like related to flower senescence.